This is Justin from How Dare You, and you are listening to Rocket Fuel.
What's up and welcome to Rocket Fuel, where we play punk, ska, indie, and everything else in between. My name is Jeff, and I'll be your host. Coming up on this episode of the show, I've got brand new music from Chris Wallard and the Ship Thieves and Let Me Run, as well as classic tracks from Social Distortion, Mustard Plug and Discount, and a whole lot more. I'll review the new record from the Marked Men, and later, I'll talk with Justin Goldman, singer and guitarist for the Orlando-based punk band How Dare You. But up first is new music from Let Me Run. The New Brunswick, New Jersey band released their debut album, Meet Me at the Bottom, last week on XOXO Records. From this debut record, here is The Count of Monte Fisto.
We could carry the weight of this town on our backs tonight, or we're just about ready to die. Let pulses sound. There's no sleep for the day.
I'm blessed with the curse, I'll never let you know.
Welcome back to Rocket Fuel. From their 1997 album Half Fiction, that was the Florida punk band Discount with City Bleach. Before that was the Bronx with Knife Man, which comes from their latest record Bronx 3, which came out in November of last year on White Drugs Records. Thanks to Eric over at CanYouSeeTheSunset.com for bringing that great Bronx record to my attention. And now, punk rock headlines. Bomb the Music Industry has delayed the release of their new album, Scrambles. The record is now due for release on February 15, 2009. The band had this to say about the delay. All of Scrambles was recorded and sequenced using a lot of demo versions of plug-in programs. This meant that once the final mix got started, it had to be finished within 14 days no matter what. It also meant that once I had sequenced the final master, I could burn a CD of it and I could not save that sequence, only burn it. So the MP3s I had burnt for the band, right? Well, those were the older master that I didn't notice a few mistakes on. And then I ran out of CDR, so there is only one good copy. So long story short, the only people who actually have the album are the fine people who are pressing it. The band released Get Warmer in 2007. The Gaslight Anthem have announced that they will be appearing on The Late Show with David Letterman. The band had this to say. So it turns out that we're going to be performing on The Late Show with David Letterman on Friday, January 30th. Pretty wild, right? So if you want to tune in, you can see the show on your local CBS TV channel. The show starts at 11:30 p.m., but double-check your local TV listings to be sure. The band released the 59 Sound in 2008. And finally, pop-punk act The Steinways have called it quits. The band made this announcement. So yeah, we're not a band anymore, which means we won't be doing the shows we have scheduled or anything. I apologize for that. Anyway, lots of you folks on here have been amazing and wonderful and nice to us through the years, and I appreciate the out of it. This band was sort of a dream come true for me, and I'm glad a few folks enjoyed it. The band's last album was 2008's Guerrilla Marketing. Punk rock headlines are brought to you by punknews.org. With a name like punknews.org, it has to be good. Up next is more new music, and this time it's from Chris Wallard and the Ship Thieves. Wallard, known for singing and playing guitar for both Hot Water Music and The Draft, released the self-titled album with the Ship Thieves digitally in October, and the proper release will come out early this year. From this excellent record, here is Reason in My Rhyme.
Slow, it takes me so long to get anywhere. I need to know where we went so wrong to get back again. Am I wasting my breath? It's hard to think when you're in between. But I'm in between. It's hard to say that you know something's wrong. I put it in a song. Am I wasting my breath? Looked in my rhyme to work it out, but we can work it out. Take a little time to get it right.
Good has got
And we're back here at Rocket Fuel. From Cincinnati, Ohio, that was Team Stray with Dying Young, which comes off of their last release, Gender Studies. Earlier this month, the band played their last show, as they have recently called it quits. Before that was the incredible Buffalo, New York indie rock band The Failures Union with Give Way. That song appears on their 2007 1% press release, Sinker. Next month, the band will team up with Cheap Girls and tour parts of the East Coast, South, and Midwest, including a stop at the Harvest of Hope Fest in St. Augustine, Florida. When I heard that the new Marked Men album Ghosts would be released this month, it was quickly added to my list of most anticipated for 2009. Having been a fan of the band's first-rate sound of garage, punk, and pop, I was excited to hear new material from the Denton, Texas quartet. Taking that signature sound of previous records like Fix My Brain and On the Outside, the Marked Men create an explosive, high-energy record that is filled with more hooks than a bait-and-tackle shop. A prime example of their ability to write uber-catchy tunes is Ghost's second track, called Ditch. After one listen to that song, it will find a way to wedge itself in your brain for weeks. Other standout tracks on the record are My Love, Ghosts, and Headset, all of which are addictive and pleasurable. The tunes on Ghosts also have this vintage feel to them. While the band is very crisp and technically sound in their performance on the record, there's almost this tangible quality to the songs, like you could reach out and touch their gritty, even dirty texture. While their poppy, upbeat tunes will always be compared to the likes of the Ramones, the Marked Men, to me, are different than their predecessors. With their unpolished, rough take on pop punk, the Marked Men stand out amongst their peers. My only complaint about Ghosts is that every time I listen to it, I get a little depressed, as this will most likely be the Marked Men's last. In a statement earlier this month, the band said, "Hiatus may not be the right word to use. It's all up in the air. With Jeff in Japan, Joe in El Paso, Mike having two kids, I really don't know if we'll be able to play again. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. It's okay, though. The band had been around for a while, since 2002. I don't want to beat it to death." On the Rocket Fuel gauge for albums, a 0 being that the album is out of gas, a 5 being that the tank is half full or average, and a 10 being that the album is full of gas and ready to blast off, I give Ghosts by the Marked Men a 9. The bottom line is, if you don't like this record, then you don't like punk rock. From this amazing record, here is the Marked Men with Ghosts.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Rocket Fuel. That was the Orlando, Florida punk band How Dare You with Cases and Carriers. The band released their Failsafe Records debut, Comfort Road, late last year. Before that was a great classic track from Grand Rapids, Michigan ska legends Mustard Plug. From their 1997 gem Evildoers Beware, that was Beer Song. Going back to How Dare You, last week I talked with their co-singer and guitarist, Justin Goldman, about Comfort Road, his personal journey from Philadelphia to Orlando, and the Super Bowl. Check it out. All right, I'm here with Justin from How Dare You. How's it going, man?
Pretty good.
Awesome. Now, how did you guys come together to form How Dare You? Let's start way back at the beginning.
Oh, man. This is actually pretty funny. Elliot tried out for a band that I got kicked out of.
Okay.
For stupid reasons, but in any case, so he contacted me and said, you know, I just tried out for a band that you were in, and I kind of like the stuff you were doing. Maybe we should start a band. And then, you know, him and I got together with acoustics, and we were playing at my parents' house, and we were... I was showing him songs that I had written before I moved here. And then, you know, we went through a few different members, him and I, a couple different drummers, a couple different bass players, and finally, you know, we ended up with Zach, Seth, Elliot, and myself. So, pretty simple stuff, I guess.
That's pretty cool. Now, when you got kicked out of that band, was that like a... obviously, that wasn't a good situation, but... do you still talk to those guys? Are they in the Orlando area or what?
No, I don't talk to those guys. the whole situation with that was when I first moved here from Philadelphia, I didn't know anybody.
Right.
I lived over there all my life, and the first thing I wanted to do when I moved here was I was like, well, you know, if I'm going to be here and I'm going to start all over, I got to play music still. So basically, what I did was I basically whored myself out to any band that would take me because nobody knew me.
Right.
And I ended up in this band. I'm not going to say the name because I don't want to be that guy.
Right.
But I ended up in this band, and you know, I thought it was going to be different. You know, they were pretty poppy, and they were pretty radio friendly, which obviously, you know, that's not for me.
Right.
And so what I tried to do was, you know, show them the kind of stuff that I was into, and you know, at the time, you know, and still, you know, I was really into Paint It Black and Kid Dynamite and all that stuff, you know, all the hard stuff. And they weren't into that, and I guess they weren't into me pushing my my stuff on them, and so that was the end of that.
Right.
And no, we do not talk, and they do have a new band now, and whatever.
Okay. Now, of course, you're in Orlando now. We're not talking about NSYNC, are we?
We're not talking, no. No, but pretty close. They're definitely playing music just for the money.
I see. Okay. Well, that's enough
said. And popularity, so.
That is enough said on that.
Yeah.
Now, I read not too long ago, actually, that How Dare You is about to go back into the studio. Is that right?
Yes, we are. We are planning on going back in there February 1st. And we got a bunch of stuff going on. We're doing two split 7-inches, one on Anchorless Records. Of which we don't know who we're splitting that with yet. That's something that Neil from Anchorless is going to figure out.
Cool.
And the other one we're doing with Kiss of Death, and the other side of that split is with a band called The Knockdown.
Very cool. Any thoughts on when either one of those might come out?
That's totally up to the labels. I really don't know.
Understand.
So, you know.
Cool.
Hopefully it'll be good.
Awesome, I'm sure it will. Now, thinking about How Dare You's full-length Comfort Road, which is out on Failsafe Records, which I just love that record. It was in my top 10 for last year. I really do enjoy that record very much. What was the writing process like for that record when you guys were in the studio for it?
What part of the writing do you want to know about? Do you want to know about it musically, or do you want to know about it lyrically?
I would say both. I mean, it's, you know, there's always that the old question of, you know, what comes first, the lyrics and the music, but how does that work for you guys?
Well, you know, a lot of the words I had written before I moved here, but didn't have a band that was a band that I could be, you know, creatively do what I wanted.
Right.
Musically, we wrote all the stuff together. You know, somebody would come in with an idea, be it Elliot or myself or Zach or anybody or Mike, who was in the band then as well. And, you know, I'd say we wrote them all together. I would come up with a little ditty at home and bring it in. And even if myself or Elliot would come up with an entire song, there's always little things that have to change and that end up changing because all four of us have completely different outlooks on music and what our favorite sounds are.
I see.
So we try and please all us as a band, you know, we try and please everybody's tastes so that it's fun for us all to play. So, you know, it starts out as, you know, something, you know, just simple, and then we turn it into whatever ends up happening. But we do it collectively together, you know, it's not just one person.
That's awesome. Now, you were talking about kind of the different, you know, styles or different tastes in music. What are the different styles? Like, what are you guys trying to bring together to make everybody happy with the sound?
Well, you know, I mean, I guess we're all a little bit older now. You know, Zach's 32, Elliot's 28, I think, and I guess I'm the youngest member. I'm 26. You know, Zach's really into Quicksand, and he's actually into a lot of metal. I don't think a lot of people know about that, but he's actually an amazing guitar player. He can really shred.
Wow.
He plays a lot of sweeps and speed metal and stuff. It's pretty fun to watch. Elliot's into a lot of West Coast punk, like Dead to Me, and he loves Propaganda, which is not West Coast, obviously Canada.
Right.
Screeching Weasel, Crimp Shrine, stuff like that.
Right.
And then, you know, I'm into Elliot's very much into Hot Water too, but I am really hard into Hot Water music and Leatherface and Kid Dynamite, Painted Black and Lifetime and the Souls and all that stuff.
Right.
And you know, we try and fuse all that stuff together. I don't think we consciously think about it when we're writing, but we hear little things and we're like, oh yeah, you know, that's kind of like this and that's kind of like that. And I think that's what makes it so much fun. You know, that's what's fun about writing simplistic music. You know, it's real easy to find your influences and turn it into something.
That's awesome. And, you can actually hear a lot of those different styles of music throughout Comfort Road. So I think you guys definitely achieve that and try to make everybody happy and, you know, kind of create a sound that has, you know, part, you know, West Coast punk, so to speak, with Hot Water, with a Crimp Shine, you know, that kind of stuff. So that's definitely cool. I definitely think you guys do a good job of combining all that.
Oh, good. We're trying.
Awesome. One of the songs that I like the most, especially lyrically, is the last song, No Remains, which I know you and I have talked about. I'm from Philadelphia,
yeah,
too. We both spent a lot of time in Ocean City, New Jersey. But for those of the folks out there who haven't been as lucky as we have to spend time in Ocean City, tell me a little bit about Ocean City, New Jersey, and how that song came about.
Well, let me tell you, the funny thing about that song, I don't know, Zach might be mad at me for saying this. It was the last song on the record, and it was actually the last song, I believe, to be done when we recorded it. And I didn't have the words ready yet, you know. I had some of them, but not all of them. So I had to write half of it in our practice space, and the other half, I think I finished writing in whatever that room is we sit in outside of the recording studio or whatever. While the other guys are tracking. In any case, it does pay a lot of tribute to the Jersey Shore. I talk about it in there because, you know, my family has a house on Haven Street, and I have a lot of history there. I've had a lot of moments there, good memories, bad memories, a lot of fun times on the boardwalk at Jilly's, which we have talked about before.
Yeah.
A lot of miniature golf and things like that. You know, but I also had a lot of adventures there. It's really me talking about, you know, there's some sadness in that song, and then there's some happiness because, you know, it kind of helps me keep the memory alive. And I don't think a lot of people write about the Jersey Shore except for the Mountain Souls and Bruce Springsteen.
Right.
So, you know, I guess I wanted to be one of those people that did that too.
That's awesome. Well, just from my personal experience, I don't want to talk about it too much, but I remember the first time I listened to that record, of course, you know, I was driving in my car somewhere and, you know, liking the record, and then I hear, you know, the last song, and I think I was at a red light, and I was like, did he just say 35th and Haven? I was like, golly, there can't be that many 35ths and Haven around. So I rewound, and I was like, okay, yeah, it's definitely 35th and Haven. That's got to be Ocean City, New Jersey. So I was definitely stoked to hear that, and, you know, I'm in the same boat, man. A lot of memories from that town. My mom actually still lives there, so I look forward to actually going up there this summer. So
yeah, we can have a beer over there. You know, we have the wonderful thing about that is I've been going there since I was, I guess, a baby, and you do feel like it's your Disneyland or your Disney World.
Yeah.
When you live in Philadelphia, it's the only real beach you can go to besides Ocean City, Maryland.
Right.
And and they got the best ice cream there, and arguably the best pizza in Macamenco's.
Yeah.
But there's so many memories that I wouldn't know where to start. You probably have to ask me about another song if you want a solid answer.
I understand. That's definitely awesome. And for those out there listening, if you're in the Northeast, go to Ocean City, New Jersey in the summertime because there's nothing like it. I talked a little bit about it earlier, but of course, Comfort Road came out on Failsafe Records out of Gainesville, which is a great kind of upstart label. How did you guys hook up with Sean and Brandon over there to release the record?
Oh, first of all, those two guys are very, very wonderful people. I have slept on both of their couches on many occasions, and they're great guys, great friends, as far as, you know, personally and with the record label. I think that Sean sent us a message on our page initially, and I think Zachary Elliott answered it. Because for a while there, I don't even think I had the password to get into it. Everybody else was doing all that stuff. And I would just kind of, whatever, I'm somewhere in the background.
Right.
But in any case, Sean came out to see us. I think we played in Gainesville. I don't remember who with, because we played two shows in Gainesville, one with Paint It Black, and we still didn't have the record out. And the other time, I forget who we were opening for. But he came out to those shows in the Peacock Room. And eventually, one of those shows, he was talking about how he was into it and how he wanted to sign us and explain to us what kind of label he is. And, everything that he was saying was great because, he's into it for music and he cares about music. It's not, not anything big and it's not anything too small. It's just like a great label because that's what it's all about. He's all about the bands. He's all about helping the bands. And he's a good person. And he works hard for us, as we hope to do for him. And I think, I think that's how that came to be.
That's awesome.
It was a handshake, and then I think we officially signed it at a show that we played at the Social in the back room somewhere. I think it's when we actually signed our contract. I don't remember when it was, but yeah.
That's awesome. And, thinking about, kind of the concept of, a handshake and, working together, kind of working for each other, to me, that's what punk rock's all about. And I think that's awesome. And I think Failsafe's operating that way. So it's really, I think that's a really great partnership for you guys. And I look forward to seeing what it will yield in the future as well.
Yeah, us too. They're great, great, great guys. I mean, it's awesome. Real happy to put the record out with him.
That's awesome. Now, of course, How Dare You How Dare You is from Orlando, land of the Mickey Mouse. But it also has, a few kind of young upstart punk bands, thinking about You Guys and Monikers and Gator Face. Do you see Orlando as kind of a new or future hotspot for punk rock? And what is it like to play there in Orlando?
Orlando is a very interesting city from my 3 years of being here. As far as the music scene goes, I'm going to talk about the bands. That's what I care about,
Right.
The bands that are coming out right now out of here, and I'll name a few and tell you how I feel about them. You mentioned Gator Face. We know those guys very well. Awesome dudes. Super awesome band. We played some shows with them, and I see great things happening for them. I think you said the Monikers. We play with them, too. Another great band with a great sound. And then there's some other bands coming up, like Virgins, which is another great band. And this band that I've been kind of listening to more and more, a band called No Harm Done.
Right.
Which we haven't played with yet or anything, but they're a great band. And I think that things are going on the up and up with the Orlando scene now. I think that something's happening. I think that this style of music is starting to get a little bit more attention here, and kids are starting to care and put on decent shows, and I'm seeing it happen, and I hope it gets better and a little bit bigger as far as kids coming out and getting into this kind of music and punk rock and the whole thing, and hopefully it does. But I do see something start to happen. There are better shows coming through here. There are more bands starting that have great sounds, that are pure and in it for the right reasons. And, that's all I can hope for, is that gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. We talked about Zach a little bit, of course, the drummer for the band. Of course, he was also in the well-respected band As Friends Rust. Do you think it helps having someone with Zach's experience like that, or do you think that kind of, if you have one member from a band like that, that people automatically expect you're going to sound like that, or you're trying to be in the shadow of that? Does that ever, you guys ever run up against that?
I don't think I've ever even thought about it.
Oh, really?
In fact, I never realized, man, I hope Zach's not going to get mad at me. I never realized how big Oz Friends Russ was until I started hanging out with Zach.
Oh, I see.
Now, as far as it goes with Zach, you know, he is great to be in a band with. He's amazing, an amazing musician, a great arranger of songs. I don't know what I would do without him. I don't think that we could be without him. I think that we handle everything collectively. We don't get the impression from anybody that we're expected or compared to as Friends of Rust, or at least I haven't ran into that yet.
Right.
I don't know if I see that happening. But we certainly don't think about it. When we sit down and we write, we just, whatever happens, happens. And, you know, if we like it, I put it on paper and we play it again.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, of course, you are one of the singers and guitar players for the band. Are there any singers or guitar players that you kind of look up to, either when you were kind of growing up as a kid or now, that you look up to in punk rock as far as, music style or just abilities?
Well, I mean, if you're asking me about punk rock, to name a few, Ari Katz from Lifetime, Greg from the Bouncing Souls, Chuck Reagan, Frankie Stubbs from Leatherface, and then most of the time when I'm writing, all I think about is Springsteen, because it's, I don't know, a lot of people don't know, but that's like my idol,
right.
That's who I wanted to be when I started playing music when I was a lot younger.
Right.
And it kind of stuck with me through everything that I've gotten into. It always falls back to him. I think he's the epitome of songwriting and playing from your heart. And, and that's what I aspire to do. It's just kind of keep it honest, keep it simple. I want everybody to relate to everything that I'm saying. I don't want to get too abstract with my writing because, hey, I can't do that.
Right.
I can't do that. It's just not me. It's not my personal style, and it's certainly not going to be my musical style.
Right.
And I think that will always fuse from your influences, what comes out of you.
Right.
So,
understand
kind of how that happens.
So you're saying you don't break out the thesaurus when you're writing lyrics?
No.
No.
Okay.
No. Okay. Awesome. Now, of course, we're in the early part of 2009 here. What kind of plans do you guys have for this year for the band?
We got big things happening. In February, February 19th, we're flying up to Philadelphia. And we're doing a 3-day stint.
Awesome.
Starting on the 20th in Philadelphia would be our first show. And then from there, we're playing Philadelphia, Jersey, and New York.
Awesome.
And then we're coming home, and then we're playing the Harvest of Hope Fest.
Very cool.
Which is 6th, 7th, and 8th, which has some awesome bands on it. And
yeah.
I think Against Me's on that, and Smoke or Fire, which is another band that is constantly revolving in my car and computer and whatever else I listen to music on.
Right.
And, various shows. We're trying to get over to Europe this year.
Cool.
I'm sure we'll be in Gainesville. We've got a lot of things going on. What I mentioned is pretty much solid, and then, we're going to be planning a lot more East Coast little tours and stuff as much as we can. Plus, we want to go in and do another full length, hopefully.
Cool, very cool.
Hopefully. Or at least write one.
Very good. Now, how stoked are you to be going back up north to Philly with the band to play?
To me, it's extremely meaningful to me. Because, almost every, there's only a couple of songs on that record that aren't about, things that happened to me there. And,
right.
What I went through. I mean, that Comfort Road is basically a journey from Philadelphia to Orlando, that's really what that entire record is. And for me to be able to go up there and play in one of my best friend's basements, and I know it sounds silly that I get excited for that, but honestly, if you've been to a show in this kid's basement, you'd be excited for it too. It's going to be awesome.
Awesome.
With all my best friends there and guys coming in from New York and Jersey and stuff like that, it's going to be amazing for me. It's going to be amazing. It's like I'm singing these songs to the people that I wrote them about.
Right.
And that's something that... that I want to do and that I haven't had a chance to do yet. And so now I'll get that chance.
Yeah, that's going to be that's going to be awesome. You should try to get somebody to videotape that, if it, especially with it being a basement show. That would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, we're actually, I think that's actually going to happen.
Sweet.
That's going to be such an, I mean, the Menzingers are on that show. Stay Sharp, which is another awesome, amazing, amazing band. If anybody's listening, they need to go on our page and click on Stay Sharp, because they're awesome.
Cool.
And the Knockdown and Casting Out, which is Nathan Gray from Blue Sets Fire. That's his new band, who's also on our label. So
right.
Should be pretty interesting.
Very cool. All right, Justin, I got one more question here. I know both you and I are still trying to get over our depression over Sunday and our beloved Eagles losing to the Cardinals.
Yeah.
I'm still a little depressed about it. But, of course, Super Bowl's coming up here real soon. Who do you like to win and why?
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you who I like. I like the Steel Curtain. I don't even like the Steelers. I don't care about the Steelers. I know Nathan from the Casting Out is a Steelers fan. So if he hears this, sorry, buddy. I don't like your Steelers. But I do want to see them wipe the floor with the Cardinals.
Right.
And the reason why they're going to do it is that they have the number one defense in the league. And, you know, they're one of the most resourceful teams I've seen all year. And I don't think that the Cardinals have the defense to stop them, and I don't think they have the offense to run against them. I can't see it happening.
Understand. Well, and of course, the Steelers also have the player with the best hair in football in Troy Polamalu. So that's got to be, that's got to give him an edge.
He's an animal, but he's no Dawkins.
No, well, nobody is.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Awesome. Well, Justin, thank you so much for taking your time out to come on the show. And it was a lot of fun, man. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks. So did I. I'll do it anytime.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks again to Justin for coming on the show. From their awesome debut record, Comfort Road, here is How Dare You with My Last Stop on the Tee.
Down, yeah.
Welcome back. That was the husband and wife duo of John and Psalm Sebastian, also known as the Color Wheels. From their self-titled debut album, that was Green Means Go. Up next is a great classic tune, and it's the last for this episode. For the past 30 years, Mike Ness and the boys from Social Distortion have been bringing their own brand of punk rock to fans across the globe. Rumors are that the band will release new material in 2009, and let's hope that they do. In the meantime, here is a live track of a song that originally came out on their 1990 self-titled record. From their Live at the Roxy album, here is Social D with Story of My Life.
Well, this song is about being a day late and a dollar short, which has always been the story of my life.
Story of my life. out what you're doing now and when you're coming back.
That'll do it for this episode of Rocket Fuel. Send any requests, comments, or advice on fatherhood to me at rocketfuelpodcast@gmail.com. You can also drop me a line or comment on my MySpace page at myspace.com/rocketfuelpodcast. To read up to the minute updates on the show, my thoughts on life and what I'm doing, follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/rocket_fuel. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.